Thank you, choir, for a beautiful anthem. That was really great. And thank you for reminding me that it is indeed well with my soul, even when there's an air conditioner down. Thank you. So our Hidden Gems series is continuing, and we're looking at texts that are often forgotten or overlooked, or sometimes at little details that sometimes are overlooked. Today's text is one of those. It's got kind of an odd detail in it that we sometimes miss. But our text today is a little bit unusual in that it appears in Matthew, Mark, and John. A lot of text, a lot of stories will appear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and not in John, or be different in John. John kind of has done his own thing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. Sometimes we'll see something that's in all three of the synoptic gospels. Sometimes we'll see something that's just in Matthew and in Luke. Really, the only other occurrence in which a story appears in Matthew, Mark, and John is the anointing of Jesus. Now, you might say, wait, I know there's an anointing in Luke, and indeed there is, but it happens much, much earlier and at a different time than in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew and John. So our text is Mark 6, 45 through 52. And just to set the tone, what has just happened is Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And the text says it was 5,000 men. So we understand that it was a whole lot more than 5,000 people. The women and the children, they didn't technically count when they were counting. So it would have been far more than 5,000 people. So the disciples have just witnessed this extraordinary miracle where Jesus has fed all these people with a few loaves of bread and some fish that somebody had as a spare. So they've just witnessed this. And so that's where our text picks up today. Oh, and it starts with Mark's favorite word, immediately. If you read the Gospel of Mark closely, you will notice that everything happens immediately, immediately, immediately. So immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. It's the word of God for the people of God. So as I said earlier, this story appears in also the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John. Now, you will remember the one in the Gospel of Matthew because Matthew's put his own twist on this story. And Jesus gets close, and Peter says, "If it is you, Lord, command me to get out of the boat so that I can walk on the water," right? And he gets out, and he walks a little bit, and then he gets scared, and he starts to sink, and Jesus saves him. Then they all get back in the boat, and the wind stops. So in the Gospel of John, they are again terrified, and you read that carefully, he gets in the boat, and the text says, and immediately they were at their destination. Really kind of interesting, like they were like, Jesus got in the boat, and they were teleported to where they were going. Maybe we'll study that one someday, but he gets in the boat, and whoosh, they're there. Now, we all remember that the Christology that is present in John is a much higher Christology than is present in the other of the three Gospels. So it's interesting that Jesus just sort of teleports them to their destination. But in all three of these stories, Jesus sees that his guys are in trouble, and he comes to them. In all three, the disciples were afraid. In all three, they thought they had seen a ghost. So for those of you that have not spent much time on the water, there is little more frustrating than an adverse wind impeding your progress. It ain't no fun. So I was years ago on a men's trip. We were canoeing the Colorado River here, somewhere between LaGrange and Bastrop. And we'd been on the river for 2 days. It was the end of the second day. We were 2 miles from our destination where we had to take out. And we came around the bend, and there were some kind of like high cliffs, not real high, but and it was funneling the wind directly into our face. And so all of us had to just grit our teeth and paddle like crazy. And the deal with this is if you stop to rest, you lose all your forward progress because you get blown backwards. So we were just digging and paddling and wishing that Jesus would get in the boat and teleport us to where we were going. These were the exact circumstances that were facing the disciples. They were in this boat, they were rowing for all they were worth, and they were making very little progress. Jesus saw that his disciples were having a hard time. And Jesus goes to their aid. We'll talk some more about that in a little bit. The Mark text is a little less clear about this, but the John text makes it very clear that this is happening in the dark. Mark says very early in the morning, so I think like, 6 or 7, and no, it's like late at night, or early in the morning, if you would, but it is still dark. So this is happening in the dark. Under the best of circumstances, the disciples in their little boat in like broad daylight could see about 1.5 miles. If you're interested how to calculate that, that's the height you are off the water times 1.5, and the square root of that is how far you can see. Remembered that from my navigation class, so there you go. But they couldn't see very well. Now, I don't know if you have been at sea at night, but it is weird. I have been in, half a dozen or so sailboat races in which we're out in the Gulf of Mexico, anywhere between 5 to 15 miles out in the Gulf. And you can look at something in the distance and you say, that is a lighted gas platform. But you're not 100% confident what it is. Things look different at night. You can be in the same location and you know exactly where you are, and you think you're looking at one thing, and maybe you are, maybe you're not. It's difficult to see at night because everything looks different. So the disciples are in this boat. They're probably frustrated as all get out because they've been paddling, rowing like crazy, and they're not making much progress. So they're frustrated. They're probably not on top of their mental game, right? And they look out into the darkness, and they see something most unexpected, something walking on the water. Of course they think it's a ghost. I would be freaked out if I'm out there in the dark, rowing my head off, trying to make to the other side of the lake, and I see something walking along outside there. They thought it was a ghost. The little nugget that's in here that is so interesting, and it is unique to Mark. So Jesus is walking on the water, and Mark says in our text that he intends to pass them by. What is up with that? I mean, was Jesus just going to walk past them on the boat and go, hey, dudes? But we read in the text, as Jesus got close, he saw that they were terrified. So rather than passing them by and doing whatever he was going to do, he gets in the boat. And he tells them, do not be afraid. It is I. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think back to the I am. Moses says, who should I say send me? I am. So Jesus is telling them, do not be afraid. I am is here. I am with you. He gets in the boat, the wind stops, and they're no longer afraid. So what does this text tell us about being a follower of Jesus? The first thing that it tells us is we have witnessed a miracle, or we have heard about a miracle. This is one of Jesus' miracles, his walking on the water. The disciples have just seen this other miracle, this huge miracle of him feeding all of these people with so little food and having leftovers nonetheless. And now they see Jesus walking on water. Second thing I think that this text says to us is that Jesus is always watching us. Not some creepy way, not some way that you should feel weird about. Jesus is always in a state of active concern about each one of us. The text tells us that he sees that his disciples are having problems. Now, they would have had a lamp on their boat, so maybe he was able to tell. It's really unclear. Maybe it's because he is God of the universe that he saw that they were struggling. But I think a lesson that we draw from this is that Jesus is always in a state of active concern about each one of us and our lives. And don't miss this. The third thing is that Jesus goes to their aid. Now, Jesus is the God of the universe, God of creation, right? I mean, he could have done any number of things. He could have sent an army of angels to lift up their boat and carry it to the destination. He could have whistled at the wind and made it stop. He could have turned the wind around and blown them towards their destination. Jesus could have done any number of things to help them out. But instead, he shows up and says, do not fear, I am with you. You see, this story tells us that we do not need to be afraid. That Jesus, the God of the universe, the one who died that we might live, is with us always. No matter what. We all have moments in our life where we feel like we are rowing and rowing and rowing and doing everything that we can, and yet we're not going anywhere. We have these moments. And this text tells us that even in those moments, Jesus is concerned about our lives and that he is with us. When the storms of life come, and they will, we have nothing to fear. Because Christ our Lord is with us. He's not sending angels or a wind or anything else. He himself is with us. And nothing can take away our salvation. Nothing can take away the promise of eternal life that we have been given through faith in Christ. No matter how bad the storm, no matter how bitter the outcome, the grace of Christ is with you always, no matter what. The God of the universe, he's in your boat. He is with you all the time. Even in those moments where you feel like, oh God, where are you? He is there. The problem is probably you. We are feeling ourselves disconnected from God. But you have to know that God is in your boat. He is right there with you. The things of the world, they can make God sometimes seem very far away. And it's up to us to find ways to let that love of Christ that is in our boat with us through. For he is with you. Always. The God of the universe is in your boat, and he is with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, what a privilege it is that we can have you in our boat with us always and everywhere. Oh God, open our eyes that we might see you. Open our ears that we might hear you, because we know that you are present with us. And so, Father, when those storms come in our life, let us hold on to this fact that you are with us, that you will never abandon us, that you will always come to our aid. We thank you for the gift of grace, for the gift of salvation, and your great love for us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.